Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, friends, and welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. Every day right here. In the Impact Power Sports Studio. Impact Power Sports. Online at impactpowersportsmi.com. You can go there and shop for a Yamaha golf cart. Or perhaps an ATV, UTV, e-bike, motorcycle, side-by-side. Go-kart. Did I say go-kart? Anything with a motor. They have a full service department too, and they are giving away the Detroit Lions golf cart signed by David Montgomery, Jameer Gibbs, and Lomas Brown. You can sign up to win it at all of my WGRD Detroit Lions watch parties at Gun Lake Casino's 131 Sports Bar. That's where you can see the stars of the Free Beer and Hot Wing Show. Go to WGRD.com for the complete listing of appearances. You can hang out with Steve. You can hang out with Jenna. And you can hang out with Kelly and Maitland to discuss their Charlie Kirk hot takes. That should be so much fun. I want to go over something with you that I shared with the Patreon audience yesterday to let you know. And you'll see it right here. It says, Sunset Senior Communities, Resident Aid, All Shifts, Non-Certified Direct Care. Your application has been received. Thank you for applying. If we feel your experience and qualifications are a fit for the position, we will contact you shortly. Some of you who are don't know what's going on here, like, what is this? What's happening? Well, this goes back now, over the weekend, this past weekend, when I was again taking care of my elderly father and my elderly mother / stepmother. I said, you know, I really enjoy this. I like, you know, this type of setup. And keeping you guys comfortable. And she said, you would probably be good in this industry. And I said, you know, I'm thinking about that. I'm actually thinking about it right now as you speak. And she goes, that's God talking to you, Eric. You have to listen to him. Now, I don't always, but occasionally I do. And that kind of fell into, it blended in, that moment blended in with the realization that, more than likely, my Affordable Care Act insurance that I have through the through healthcare.gov is going to experience some dramatic changes where I will, you know, not be able to take advantage of the tax subsidies, which make it so that that insurance is very, very affordable for 24 million Americans. And there's a pretty good chance that that's going away. Now, I'm not getting into anything about that. In fact, I've said on this show that they probably should go away for a lot of us. You know, honestly, I mean, I'm not struggling. So they probably should take those away for people like me. I'm with you on that. The conservative side of me agrees with you. However, if they are offered and I can take advantage of it, shit, yeah, I'm going to take advantage of it. I have for 7 years. So going along that mindset, I said, I'm going to have to come up with another probably $1,100, $1,200 a month. I've got time to figure that out. So part of that was I took the God saying to me, hey, easy, you need to be taking care of the old folks in your community. And then I went ahead and I was being influenced by the government and baby Jesus. So then I talked about it on this show. And then yesterday we had a long talk about how those of you that work 40 hours a week are huge pussies and you don't work enough and you need to work. You need to work more. And then several of you got extremely upset at me over that. And that was the end of it. It kind of it ended in a standoff with various audience members upset at my opinion that you need to work more than 40 hours in order to get what you want out of life. 40 is the bare minimum. Okay? In my opinion, 60 to 80 is the new 40. Before I get into this, let me give you some easy math. Let's say you're someone who's just getting started in the world. And you've got a job at $21 an hour, which is average. And let's say you work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's how many hours? Okay, 12 times 7. That's 84 hours a week times 21. That is $1,764 per week for 52 weeks. If you put in 52 weeks at that, that's $91,728 a year. If you can manage to do that from the time you're 18 to you're 28, you'll have earned nearly $1 million. David says 21 an hour is kind of low. Well, whatever. My point is there's a lot of money to be made. And people are just not willing to put in the extra effort. I, of course, am, and I put my money where my mouth is by sending my application in to my friends at the local old folks' home. Murder Lover Linda says, who works 12 hours a day, 7 days a week? Lucky people. Hard workers. I'm thinking about doing it. Okay, so 60 hours is the new 40. My opinion. Linda says, fuck that. Okay. So there was all sorts of bitching and moaning in the chat. Oh, my God. Everybody was so offended. Oh, fuck you, Zane. We shouldn't have to. And then some of you were saying that in some country, they work like 3 days a week, 4 hours a day, and they're all millionaires. That's all bullshit. Joe Martinez is here. He says, that's why immigrants have, I think he means what they have, because they work 80 hours a week. Oh, yeah. Hell, the people that put the roof on this house, they were here before the crack of dawn, getting ready, and they went till like 7, 8 o'clock. Easy. They took a little midday siesta on the front lawn. They had the dining fly set up so that they could relax in the shade. They had all their supplies there. They didn't have to go and buy their lunch like you dickheads always do. Let me get to this correspondence I had with Jeremy K. You know, the guy who in a year lost 135 plus pounds despite having the loss of his puppy dog and his father, Feech. And working a job that's not conducive to a lot of movement, a truck driver. That's a job in itself, by the way. Saving his own life, now fit as a fiddle, off of all the medicines he had. He writes, subject line, chat from today. He wrote 58.13, 60.28, 58.15. 57.45, 63.70, 57.48, 58.82, 56.07. He continues, you may be wondering what those numbers are. Those are the hours that I've worked every week in order since I started my new job. Not only are they all over 40, they're all over 55. And most of those hours are on a night shift schedule. Guess what? Sounds like Bill Romanowski. Guess what? I still spend time with Becky. I still visit my mother and my sister every week. I still play pinball and build Lego. And I'm still dropping poundage and figuring out where to fit gym visits into my schedule. I still get a full night's rest, too. Do I think I should have to work this much? No. But I think dogs should live longer than humans. I think Eric Zane should be president. And men should be able to pee wherever they want in public. Just because I think things should be a certain way doesn't mean I can live my life in that way. Do I want more time with Becky and my hobbies? Of course. But I have to do what I have to do to survive. And nothing is going to change with crying online about the way things should be. I get really annoyed with people who say 40 hours a week is too much. I've been working this type of schedule for over 10 years because that's what it takes. It's hard, but you get used to it. I wish I could have 40-hour work weeks. The amount of free time would be awesome. 40 hours a week? Give me a break. All right. That is awesome. Murder lover Linda says, I prefer letting my money work for me. Well, yeah. Well, when you work hours like Jeremy, he takes that money that he earns, probably, and is able to put some of it to good use because he's smart. He's thinking for his future. At least that's what he should do. I hope he's doing that. Rebecca is here. She was one of the key complainers yesterday. She writes, that's the key takeaway. It shouldn't be this way, but it is this way, and a lot of us don't like it. I do it, but I still hate it. Rebecca says, LOL, he takes that money and buys Lego and takes me out for breakfast. You might want to think about socking some of that way away, big fella. Rebecca says, easy. I'm not getting into it. Then proceeds to immediately get into it. Well, all right. Maybe. So I now wait to hear from the old folks home. I'll give them a few days, and then I'll move on to the next thing. Because if you're faced with the possibility, the very real possibility, I don't care who you are, of, oh, by the way, here's an extra $1,100, $1,200, $1,300 out of your pocket each month. That money has to be made up somewhere. Okay? So I will be, I'll be picking up another gig, without a doubt. I have time to prepare. And if you're like me and you get your insurance from the Affordable Care Act, you should probably take steps to make sure that this doesn't catch you off guard. Because that would be a real disaster for you. Nevertheless, the government shutdown drags on. And I really, really feel for those who, like Nick in Houston. Now, here we are, day 17, and now he's gone up more than 2 weeks, which means a pay period has come and gone. He has received no money. And any of you who are government employees, this is no joke. You're wondering what the hell is going to happen. You might even have to reach out to various institutions that you make payments to for perhaps a mortgage or a car and figure out some type of deferment. You're on the phone. You're working the phones. You're trying to get things in order because this has a bad trickle-down effect on the economy. Also on my ability to speak, apparently. David says, which old person home, EZ? Sunset Manor. Rebecca said, I'm really excited for this opportunity for you. I think it's something you're going to be really good at. Oh, I know. I know. Look, this is the way this is going to go. I'm going to go in there because the people that they usually sign up for these gigs probably are, you know, losers, okay, who, and then they probably stay there for like 2 weeks and they can't handle it. You're getting a seasoned, educated professional who has no problem wiping ass. You know, I'm the one that's going to be like, I'll do it. I'm going in. You got to, you know, you don't want that material touching the patient's, the resident's skin. And I've changed a lot of diapers. All right. This is no different. It's just bigger amounts of poo. So I absolutely, I can do that gig. I'm just curious as to what the HR person thinks when, like, if they know what I do and who I am, because I actually used to be somebody in this town, and they're like, wait a minute, what? Is this the guy? Rebecca says, you clean the NFK's butthole. Hell, you bathe them. Yeah, no problem. Gloves. You just wear gloves. No big deal. You hold your breath when you're in the bad zone and you wear gloves. You do a bang up job as quickly as possible. Get it out of the room. These people they feel terrible that they're at this point in their life. But we need compassionate care to help these people at this stage of their existence. And I am the guy. I can see myself at any facility just going up the ladder. They're like, this son of a bitch, he grinds. He's going to get the job done. I can see myself being in charge of all the people like me, assigning schedules, getting people to work, communicating with the residents. I sure hope this happens because I think I would be excellent for that job. Maureen says it will generate so much content for the show. Well, I mean, that's not why I'm doing it, but if the time is right to tell a story without, you know, it getting weird and then end up getting fired for that, you know. Aram says he is already insulting and alienating his coworkers. I think I missed that. I don't know what you mean by that. What did I say that was alienating and insulting? Cole says, can't afford your insurance? Good. Go wipe an old man's ass. Maureen said, you said they were losers. Yes, you're right. I did. Yeah, I mean, if anybody is going to earn $16 an hour, more often than not, it's a loser. Let's be honest here. That's a loser wage. Nobody wants to do that job. In fact, I cannot believe I have not already been called and, you know, been offered the gig. Bread Bowl Brain Chris says they're typically nursing students. Okay, then they would not be losers. I thought that $16 an hour meant like, you know, local meth head with tattoos over his face, all over his face, and shit poked into his ears. Ben says, I barely make over $16 an hour. Well, you're underpaid. All right. Well, if they're nursing students, they're obviously not losers. But nursing students come and go, so there's going to be a lot of turnover there. I want to be there for life. Aram says the HR department is watching this to see if they want to hire him. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I like that because I don't like surprises, frankly. I don't like someone diving in to a business partnership with EZ in any capacity without knowing what they're getting themselves into. You have to have that. All right. We could call this EZ's job quest for jobs no one wants. It's a little wordy. I might have to work on the title of that. But I'm fired up, as you can tell. Pooh Bear just added a shift. She is going to, next weekend, be taking care of my dad and Joanne. And then the following weekend, so not this coming weekend like tomorrow, the weekend after that, and then the one after that. Man Bun Chris is here. You could have a Patreon that's like that Dirty Job show. All right. So that's exciting news, and I'm pumped up for it. You have to have that type of frame of mind. Ladies and gentlemen, legendary guitar player for the band Kiss, Ace Frehley, has passed away. Ace was a legend. In 2014, EZ, Greg, and Chris talked to Ace. He's a really nice guy. His success with Kiss was from the start of the band until probably the early 80s. And then things fell apart. There were some relationship issues between Ace and Gene. I know that. And Ace smoked and drank and drugged way too much. He ended up getting into sobriety. Thank God. As I understand it, in September, Ace took a nasty fall in his studio, and the result of the fall was a bleeding of the brain, which led to a stroke, and he was just not pulling out of it, and passed away yesterday at age 74. I always felt kind of bad for the other members of KISS, Ace and Peter Criss, because while the success continued all the way to the end for Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons, Ace and Peter not really included in that. But they didn't seem to have any bitterness and seemed to be fine with each other. I know Gene Simmons made a nice post honoring him. Amanda said, "This is sad, but I love easy Keith talk." Okay, so I grew up in an era, the 1970s, where my brothers loved Kiss. In particular, my oldest brother, half-brother, whatever you want to call him. I don't talk to him anymore. Anyway, he used to play Kiss all the goddamn time. And one of the things that stood out to me was in the album Kiss Alive 2. Ace sang a song, and it was a moderate hit for the band, called Shock Me. And it was a real life story because Ace almost died when he was on stage, and he got electrocuted badly through his guitar in an incident on stage. So he wrote the song Shock Me. And on the album Kiss Alive 2, Paul Stanley says, quote, "Oh, yeah. We got something special for you tonight. We're going to turn the microphone over to Ace Frehley. Shock Me." You think I'm kidding? I'm going to get that. Kiss Alive to Shock Me. Hey, it's Eric Zane, and uncommongoods.com is a great place to shop for the holidays. I just picked up a Himalayan salt barbecue plank. It's a square, 8 inches by 8 inches, inch and a half thick, made of Himalayan salt. You put it on the grill and your veggies on top of the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Oh my gosh, what a way to season the veggies with the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Just one of the thousands of items for sale for everyone at uncommongoods.com. I love that when you're shopping for Christmas gifts at uncommongoods.com, you've got stuff for readers, for nerds, for travelers, for foodies, sports fans, for music lovers. Everything under the sun can be found at uncommongoods.com. The kids are like, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? And I go, well, just go to uncommongoods.com and find something that you know I'll like. And you can do the same thing. And I've got a special deal for you. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. That's uncommongoods.com/Zane. You'll get 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. So he did. He turned the microphone over to Ace Frehley.
We got a little surprise for you tonight. We're going to turn the microphone over to Ace Frehley. Shock me.
And then he played Shock Me. Shock me. Make me feel better. Shock me. Put on your black leather. Thank you to Nick W. Nick W. is going to make a lot of you very happy because I've had numerous people say, EZ, where is the long-lost footage of you doing a parody of Paul Stanley and the Detroit Rock City parody that you did back in the day with your former mates on the Free Beer and Hot Wings show? Now, I had forgotten how funny that this actually is. And I had no idea where to look for it, nor did I have it. Nick wrote, do you remember that? And I'm like, yeah, I remember. He goes, I remember the one line, because in the song, it goes, first I drink, then I smoke. But it came out differently in my parody song. Don't say what it is, but it's partly right. First I drink, then I smoke. So I give you EZ with backup singing from Hot Wings and a laughter from one Joe Gassman. I don't know what year. I'm guessing 2014 or earlier. Doing my parody of Easy as Paul Stanley, doing my parody of Detroit Rock City. I hope you enjoy this.
Gene, we got to fail the conundrum. I'm understanding.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest man in the world. Yes!
It's already better than Ace Frehley.
Yeah, it's already cleaner.
Great.
Yes, it'll be easy.
We love that!
On a Saturday night.
9 o'clock!
I'm working for a man to buy.
I hear my song!
And it gives me fits.
It comes out strong!
And I'm singing with a real bad lip.
Real bad lip!
Get up! Walking down the street.
Hurry it down.
When a thief gonna be my meat.
You gotta lose your mind in Detroit. Rock City.
Get up on the board. Walking down the street.
Hurry it down.
When a thief gonna be my meat.
Get in me.
I just can't wait.
gotta give a blow. First I drink, then I smoke pole.
Of course.
I did my pants. I'll sink it in a glory hole.
A glory hole.
Get up. All the boys walking down the street.
Get down.
Where the thief gon' be my meat.
All right, Ape. This is the... This is the next Jimi Hendrix. The wizardry of Ape Frehley. I'm moving fast.
Doing 95 guys.
I hit top speed.
But I'm still pumping much too slow.
I feel so good.
I'm so alive.
I'm so alive. I'm doing right.
Gonna hit your mouth and not your thighs.
Why?
Get up. All the boys walking out of three.
Get down.
Well, the theme gonna be my beat.
Clark!
Oh.
Hey,
Fraley! Again!
Can't get enough.
He's just gonna shred.
Yeah, he's shredding his scales.
It's a thread fab! It's a thread fab with Hey, Fraley!
He can play all the songs from Atari!
Quiet, guys, I have to think.
The drum is Peter Kripp.
12 o'clock. I need some. Oh.
Detroit.
Rock City.
Uh-huh. 12 o'clock.
I need some snacks.
Had to change that.
I'm at the farm.
And the rooster stops to crow.
A metaphor
for hot game six.
I'm getting ran
by a black guy. His name's Tech.
Yeah!
Get up! All the boys walking down the street.
Get down!
Where the thief gonna be my meat? Bam! Bam! Get up! All the boys walking down the street.
Get down!
Where the thief gonna be my meat?
Thank you!
Yeah!
Yes! We are the hottest band in the world. Kill!
A metaphor for hot gay sex?
On the drum, it's Peter Kripp.
12 o'clock.
I need some. Oh.
Detroit.
Rock City.
Uh-huh. 12 o'clock.
I need some snacks.
Had to change that.
I'm at the farm.
And the rooster stops to crow.
Rooster starts to crow.
A metaphor for hot gay sex.
A metaphor for hot gay sex.
I'm getting rammed
by a black guy. His name's Tex.
Getting rammed by a black guy. His name's Tex.
Heck yeah!
Get up!
Oh, shit. Okay. So Cole is like, was this all off the top of your head? No, I had to write it. So I don't know why we did it. I don't recall. And the genesis of it is lost on me. I just know I wrote this stupid song and then a lot of people liked it and I haven't heard it since I did it. Oh, that's fantastic. Alan says, God forbid Greg have fun with anything. Well, you know, he was quiet. That is classic Greg. I remember this part. When we did that, you heard us all laughing. He was like looking at his iPad, not paying attention, which is what he does now. Ben Glaze says, I sent the segments for you for the origin. Okay, let me take a look at that. Kiss cover band, all three segments. Wow. Yeah, I'm going to have to preview those, and that might be something that I'll pick apart on the Patreon bonus podcast. Yeah, we had a wonderful time doing that. It was great fun, and I knew the bit was a hit, but I am not kidding you. Whenever we were having a good time like that, you just look at the wet blanket, and he's like, he threw in one line. He tried to be Paul Stanley in it, and it sucked. Cole says if they played that today, their current audience would be so offended by them. Oh, my God. There is no way. Aram, thank you. He says, this was why Eric was referred to as the heart of the show. Manna says, this ranks up there when you did the song Autograph. Hot Wings and I sang that song. I forgot the basis for it, but Greg was not there that day. Piano Finger Banger says, man, hearing that and comparing to what their show has become now is just depressing. I am Woody. Hey, the show is actually good then. Hard to listen to these days. Amanda says, God, that was the good old days. Thank you. Bob with sounds like Dr. Roxo, the rock and roll clown. I don't know what that is. Stevie says, oh, my God, fantastic. I can't while driving. Murder Lover Linda says it would be genius for them to play this today, but they're not geniuses. No, I disagree. It would be bad because you don't want to compare the shit that goes on now with what was actually a very powerful morning show. Megan says, I love seeing you laugh. I, again, had forgotten about the lines in that. And I think my favorite one was get some snacks. 12 o'clock. I need 12 o'clock. I need some snacks. Because everybody was expecting me to say cock. And a metaphor for hot gay sex. Getting slammed by a black guy. His name's Tex. All right. Rest in peace, Ace. Cole says, do they play these segments on the Best of Saturday shows or are you erased? They still play some of the material, but they don't do it well. It's weird. It's tough to put it into words. I don't think that they actually like to do that, but for some reason they committed to it after I left morning radio in West Michigan. And it's still like something that they promote, which, can you imagine that? I mean, I'm happy that they do, but here I am on a daily basis, brutally annihilating these people, mercilessly ripping them a new asshole on a regular basis, and they still promote me. What an embarrassment. Amanda says, I'm going to be playing this over on the audio for a while. Amanda says, thanks for all that, Eric. I got to go into work now.
No problem, Amanda. Yeah, you know she's hot. She's got rock and roll pneumonia. Time to call out Dr. Love. You made me love, baby, oh so bad. You're not the only one I ever had.
A couple weeks back, the air horn bit was brought up, and Tommy edited Eric out. Oh, that's cute. Surprisingly, they play old Joe stunts on the Saturday show. Before the shit got weird with Joe was very much beloved for the silly giggle box that he was. There is a place for the giggle box, and Joe was it. Plus, he was funny. So the show was turning into a success minus Joe. And when we added Joe, it was like unstoppable. And I remember when we added Joe, he hadn't yet found his place and he was very uncomfortable. And we had program directors, in particular, one guy named Phil LaCassio, who's a great guy. I still talk to him to this day. He reached out. He goes, hey, man, I got to tell you something. I go, what is it? He goes, this new Joe guy, he's killing the show. He's killing it. And I had to talk him down from the ledge. He was the affiliate program director for the Albany radio station. I go, look, man, I appreciate you telling me, but you're wrong. He's going to go somewhere. He's going to be great on this show. You just got to give it time. Trust me on this. And I was right, of course. And he was wrong. It's just too bad that things got in the weeds and he is no more. Joe, I am Woody says, Joe was a gem, and I'm going to add the word allegedly, but allegedly beating women doesn't help. Cole says they have no problem playing an alleged abuser, but a guy who makes fun of pants is where they draw the line. NW980 with a great question. Have you ever spoken with Drew about Joe since Drew is his uncle? No. We have not spoken. I have spoken to Drew, but not about that topic. In fact, when I was throwing Joe under the bus when the shit was hitting the fan, was about that time that I was headed over to Detroit to the Magic Bag for Who Are These Podcasts. I did say one thing when I ran into Drew. I go, so, I'm guessing right now you want to punch me, right? He goes, nah, and he laughed. And that was the end of it. That was the only reference to it. I talked to Carl before that, and I go, so what's going on here? You know the dynamic. He goes, yes, I do. I go, is anybody pissed? He goes, well, Drew's not pissed, but Drew's sister's pissed. And that would be Joe's mother. And I'm like, well, of course she's going to be pissed. That's his mother. She sides with her son. She doesn't believe this alleged information. She's not going to believe that. She's not going to believe me. Bob says, I still want to know Kelly's honest opinion on Joe. Here's some food for thought. The moment of the alleged incident on the Thanksgiving day between Joe and Rachel, where Rachel, I believe her sister was witness to this, and then shortly thereafter, Joe went on the air and did the I was attacked by the Chicago gangs speech and blamed long distance for the breakup with Rachel and started crying on the air and everybody fell for it except me. And I said, you watch, within a year, he'll be fired. Now, I don't know if he was fired or not. He says he resigned or retired or whatever, but he's not there after a year. But from that point on, the allegation, it took a year to surface publicly for Rachel to make the alleged allegation on Instagram. Are you telling me that for that year, Kelly knew about all of this? The allegations that Rachel was making from that incident? I wonder what was going on behind closed doors, because on the air, they seem like friends. But if you're the show, and if you're the show, if you're Greg and you're Chris and you're Rachel and you're being gaslit allegedly, but you also are hearing the other side of this from Rachel, either through Kelly or from her herself. How are you looking this guy in the face every day? You're probably doing it hoping and praying that the lid doesn't get blown off it. Very strange to me. That's never been resolved. It's never been spoken to. So I guess my question is, while Joe ended up, quote unquote, resigning or retiring with all of these allegations swirling around, were Greg, Chris, and Kelly aware of those allegations too for one full year before Rachel made one post to Instagram and then suddenly Joe was never heard of ever again? I would love to ask those questions. I'd love to find out what they know. Now, I will say this. Kelly is still pals with Rachel. And I even, I didn't get up the nerve to say to her, how is this working? And I said, but I did ask her about the relationship. And she said that Kelly is a rock star. She loves her to death. There is no problem between them. So, and she's not dumb. Rachel is not a moron at all. But I still want to know why, for 1 year, with those allegations being known, that it didn't go down earlier. Alan says, call Rachel. No, she has gone on with her life. She is doing just fantastic, and I don't want to bother her with any of this nonsense. In all fairness, Aram writes, Eric forced little Joey to do the stunts. Rebecca says, don't forget the Chicago gangs. There was a cryptic Instagram post Kelly made that may or may not have been about him after he retired. No, it was about Joe, in my opinion, because I read that same thing too. Because right after he left, he posted on Instagram some weird post to not believe what you're hearing about me or something like that. And then Kelly responded with that one. That was awesome. I was actually proud of her that she did that. You know, we're very close. Whatever happened with Rachel and the radio guy? You know, I will text her a little later on. In fact, it's not a bad idea to text her like right now, and maybe I can get an answer while this show is going on. Okay, Zach was the guy's name. Last I heard was August 22nd. Oh my God, give me a Zach update. Call Joe, too, Bob says. Yeah, let's call them all. Let's call Justin. Let's call Joe. Let's have a big... And we'll get Ashley on and Rachel and Gina R. in New Jersey. Get them all on. Let's have a great... We'll have a Family Feud-style event. Wouldn't that be something? All right. Bread Bull Brain Chris says, one big conference call. Bob says, I've been waiting for Justin's next podcast. Bob says, hell, call Kyle. Internet porn Jenny, says Tophus. All right. Well, that was fun. Rest in peace, Ace. There was a Thursday night football game yesterday. This clip is going around. So, the Bengals and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, Aaron Rodgers. In this particular moment, what you're going to witness is Rodgers connects with some dude for a long touchdown. Then you will see Rodgers celebrating, running down the field, and then one of his teammates like goes to congratulate him and tackles him. And Aaron got pissed off because the guy tackled him. All right, hang on, let me turn this up. Here we go.
This one would have sealed the game, but it just something didn't feel right about his time. If I finally get him involved, too, 8 kills, go ahead. Oh, don't tackle me. Look at that.
How pissed off he is. Holy shit. So the big guy brings him down, and then you see Rodgers. Look at that look on his face. He is so pissed. He's ready to kick somebody's ass. He's going to cast a spell on you with his voodoo doll or some shit. He's 40. And this... The big lineman is tackling Aaron Rodgers. Oh, no. Both quarterbacks in that game are 40 years old. They were. And the Bengals ended up winning that one. It's being called the Unk Bowl by Allen, for sure. Piano Fingerbanger says, what a diva. Rebecca says, fuck Aaron Rodgers. Corn Pop says, not a diva. Why the fuck would you tackle a 40-year-old quarterback like that? No, I agree with Corn Pop. You can't tackle anybody. Who knows? The weirdest thing could happen if it was a 21-year-old quarterback or a 40-year-old quarterback. You don't go jump on unsuspecting guy's back and drag him to the ground. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.